How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
I did a Bachelor of Oral Health. It's actually a double degree, so you're dually qualified as a dental hygienist and a dental therapist. So my official scope of practice is an oral health therapist. I feel like the EMS airflow, for one, for me has been a really big game changer in terms of the way we've been practicing dental hygiene. Has really been the same since the 1950s, but now there's technology that's much more gentle, much more comfortable, much more systematic, efficient, and something that the patient's actually happy to come in for. People feel like the podcast is a really great time where you can sit with someone, pick their brain, get to know them a little bit more, understand why they do what they do or have done what they have done.
Yeah, this is a tale, oh yeah, a tale of two hygienists. So there might be only one, bringing the best of dental knowledge, and we do it all with ease. We cover oral health and screening, and preventing gum disease. We're gonna do a lot of learning, and have a little bit of fun working at the dentist. A tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists, an Endeavor Business Media production. This is episode number 374. I'm your host, Andrew Johnston, and thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Really excited about this episode, everyone. Really excited. Today we have Emma on, and I like it. I'm excited about it because it's just different. It's a different kind of episode. It was a lot of fun. You know, when you get to the conference and you see your best dental hygiene friends and life instantly gets better. That is how I felt when I had a chance to talk with Emma and other fellow podcasters too, because we just are nerds about dentistry. We love talking about dentistry. We love talking to people who like talking about dentistry. Fun fact, Emma also has better gear and tech than I do as a podcaster, which I think is quite a treat, 374 episodes in, and you know she's got a handful of podcasts out and she has better stuff than I do. So I think it's time, everyone. It's time I need to up my game on this. Emma is interesting in that she's an oral health therapist in Australia. And so, of course, we had to talk a little bit about that, what that looks like, the education process. I think just the kind of basic getting to know you questions was really important for me. And then the second part of the episode, we played a game. And the game is called Would You Rather. Of course, everyone probably knows that one. But of course, this was the dental version. So it's clean and suitable to listen to in the episode with the kids in the car. Nothing to worry about there. And you're going to want to give her podcast a listen as well. It's called Talk Dental to Me. Make sure you give her also a follow on social media. This episode that we're doing today is part one. And then she had me on her show for part two. And I would love for you all to give that a listen to as well, because I think that some of you know who I am. You kind of know what I'm about, but I'm kind of hoping that maybe based on how I answered the questions on her podcast, maybe you'll see me a little bit differently. I mean, maybe not, maybe so, I don't know. But it was just a lot of fun to be on her podcast. She's a great host. So make sure you give that a listen and also subscribe to her show as well. Next week, we have CE level episodes coming back. We have Dr. Ronnie Brown. You probably remember her from the methamphetamine episode we did last year. This time we talk about communication with patients that we believe to be in an impaired state with some sort of substance. and we did some really cool role playing. So I think it'll be a real asset for you all to hear this one. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Actually, can I also just maybe ask another huge thing from you all? Among the many huge things that I ask from you all the time, but will you really do that? Will you really hit that subscribe button on your app? Like, pause this episode right now and then go hit that subscribe button for A Tale of Two Hygienists. Like, for realies. And this is why. So last week I did a tip episode that got really great reviews. It was on loneliness. And I think that because of the way that we name some of the episodes, it's not really all that appealing if you are one of those people that just go through looking to see like who is the guest, what's the topic, and et cetera, et cetera. Which is totally on me. I'm the one that comes up with the names of the titles. And I do it because I wanted to really explain what the content is. I want you to know what's coming up. But I know that some of these titles aren't sexy. They're not fun. But I'm really proud of that episode. And I really want everyone to hear it. So if you hit that subscribe button, I feel like maybe sometimes that'll give you that little extra push that you need to try out an episode that maybe you wouldn't expect to like. But I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised. Just, I would love it so much if you would do that. I really appreciate it. Just wishing from this very grateful podcast host, hygienist guy. So, well, on that awkward note, I hope you enjoy this episode with Emma.
A Tale of Two Hygienists.
All right. Welcome everyone into the interview portion of the podcast. So excited to have Emma here. So a weird thing, just so you guys, I know we talked about this on the intro already, but I am so excited to have a fellow podcaster, a fellow dental nerd. And this is just from all the way across the world. This is so exciting. Emma, how are you doing today?
I'm really well. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be on the other side, although I'm a little bit nervous because I'm usually the one hosting and asking the questions.
Well, this is going to be easy. I think one of the great things about the podcasting, as you know, is like it's just conversations, right? So
yeah.
Two people that have, you know, a commonality of dentistry and things like that. And so what I was hoping that we could do, if you're game for it, because we have part one, I guess we're going to do kind of part two on your show. And This is going to be really, really fun. I would like to, one, get to know you a little bit better in the beginning. And then I have some would you rather questions that I've sourced very specifically for you. So can you handle that?
Oh, I'll do my best.
Okay. So let's get into your dental history, first of all. So you're from Australia. Mm-hmm. Born and raised in Australia, and take us through that journey of getting into dentistry and what your role is in dentistry.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So actually born and raised in New Zealand. So I'm actually a Kiwi.
Nice.
My parents are originally from the Philippines and they moved there and then had my brother and I. We stayed there till I was about 10 and then we moved to Melbourne, Australia. So no Kiwi accent here. To all my cousins back home, I am Australian. Although it's strange because some patients do say some of the words I say sound Kiwi, but I think I sound Australian. So I did most of my primary school, high school in Melbourne. And it got to about year 10 and you come to the pointy end of high school and you've got that big life decision as a 16-year-old. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? So I always knew I wanted to work in healthcare from about the time I did work experience. So in Australia, it's part of the curriculum. You have to find two different workplaces. It can be whatever you want and you do 1 week at one and another week at another. So I did 7 days at a law firm because I thought at some point in my life I wanted to be a lawyer. And after a week there, I was like, no. It was really amazing to see the type of work that they did, but it definitely wasn't for me.
But you were able to choose whatever path you wanted to, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Luckily.
This is different, by the way. This is so fascinating because we don't have anything like this in the States.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite helpful. So then I did a week in a clinic that had different types of allied health, podiatry, physio, dental, general practice. And I did a couple of days in podiatry, found out I hate feet, will not work with feet. And then I went in with the dentist and I just found that really interesting. I don't really know how to explain it. You know, when something inside of you just clicks and you're like, hey, this is really cool. And just to see how in that space of, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, how you can improve how a patient feels about themselves or get them out of pain. And working in the mouth didn't bother me. And you would know how many people say, how do you do what you do? But I guess that's why we're all so different. So
yeah.
After that, I had a chat with a family friend who was a dental hygienist, and he really enjoyed the profession and highly recommended it. And after our chat, I went to a few open days at some universities here, and I live quite close to central Melbourne. So the University of Melbourne, for me, that was my top goal. Otherwise, I would have had to move to a regional part of the state for a couple of years. So I worked really, really hard, and luckily I was accepted into UniMelb. So I did a Bachelor of Oral Health. So that might sound really strange to some of your listeners who are like, what is that course? So it's actually a double degree. So you're dually qualified as a dental hygienist and a dental therapist. So my official scope of practice is an oral health therapist, which I don't think they have in the States.
No, but they need to. I do want to dive into the therapist part, like that half of it, in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk before you get into that. So in that bachelor's degree program, so did you also have prerequisites to get into it, or this is like in those years, that is your education?
Correct. So I just had to choose the prerequisite subjects, they're called, in my final years of high school, and mm-hmm. then applied directly to the course. So I was a school leaver entry.
That's so fascinating. So, okay. So there's essentially you're double degreed. Mm-hmm. So if someone only wanted to be one or the other, is it like kind of like a ride? Like you're coming along the, you know, the freeway, and then you get off, you know, after 2 years, and this is dental hygiene, and then you carry on for two more years and you get your therapist degree, or how does that part work?
Well, in Australia, it used to be separate, and then most of the courses amalgamated the two qualifications. So these days in Australia, it's quite hard to find a single dental therapy, dental hygiene course. I believe, don't quote me guys, the only single dental hygiene course is in one state, which is South Australia. And I've been told by a student that they're phasing that out. So we're moving towards the dual qualification. So yeah, I guess when you go into practice, some patients favor being more of a dental therapist, some favor being more of a hygienist. And I guess, yeah, like you said, you just pivot towards which one you prefer along the way.
Now, can you go through like the scope of practices a little bit more? Like, what is the, you know, a day in the life of a hygienist, which I would assume is very similar to what we have, but, mm-hmm. and then a day in the life of a therapist, what does that look like?
Sure. So like Andrew said, very similar to your scope of practice from what I believe after speaking to other hygienists in the States. Dental therapists, usually they've got a mix of both the preventative and restorative in the one day. So dental practices, particularly private, will hire an OHT. And generally speaking, you would practice both of those scopes of practice. So you could see in an average day a normal routine preventative care appointment. You could see a mix of perio. You could see a child for extractions, fillings, pulpotomies. So you most practices, I would say, actually prefer, especially in private hygiene. Depends where you are, though. It's very clinic dependent. Some dentists say, yep, I don't want to see the kids. Send them to the OHTs. So you could be really lucky and get all of the kids and really keep up that scope of practice. But in some, which is the way that my career went, it was more hygiene. So I got really confident in perio and hygiene, and mm-hmm. luckily enjoy that more. So that's the path that I chose.
So when you say that, you know, pulpotomies and things like that, you're talking about you can also prep the teeth as well, right? So for Washington State, where I practiced for a long time, we were like that step below where what you're talking about. So we could put the fillings in, doctor would have to prep, but we couldn't do, I'm just trying to think like we couldn't do pedo extractions. There was no prescriptive authority. We couldn't write even just like the basic, you know, 5,000 PPM fluoride scripts. We couldn't do any of that. And so they talked a lot about, hey, how do we get this model to be like the next thing, like the next increase of the scope of practice? But where you went one way, I went the other way. And I really went into the restorative part of it because I feel like it, and my day was similar where it's like, you know, you can kind of like have a restorative patient, then you can have like a pedo patient, or you could have a perio patient. And I really loved building and creating and restoring something that was just so broken. And in the patient's eyes was like ugly, right? Like they wanted like an immediacy to that fix, where perio, we do great work with perio. We save lives with perio. Patients don't appreciate it nearly as much. And I'm a people pleaser and I just wanted them to be happy. So is there much of a pay difference between the two, between hygienist and OHT?
In private practice, you can have the luxury of being paid commission if you provided more restorative work. So that would definitely be much more lucrative, you could say, because I guess there's a ceiling to hygiene. You know, you can put a figure on how much you could earn per hour. You know, if you chuck in some whitening, maybe you earn a little bit more per hour. Like where I work at the moment, there's some period, there's not a huge amount. So I find that the therapists who, OHTs, who provide quite a lot of therapy will lean towards a commission structure. So in that case, I would say that that clinician would earn substantially more than an hourly rate.
And that makes sense, right? I mean, I think we have a similar model too, where even though it's still within the hygiene of either commission or not, and you usually have to do, whitenings and a few more things in order to kind of get that next level up. Tell me about like kind of the team dynamic. So if you are an OHT, do you have your own assistant, or I guess we would call them dental assistants. I'm not really sure if there's a different term that you'd use for them.
Nope, same. Okay. So I'm quite lucky here. I work with what we call a hygiene coordinator. So she manages the hygiene department. So there's as many as just two of us, two OHTs on in the one day, and she will or he will go between us. So I'm quite blessed that I get to walk into work every day. My room's set up for me. I don't have to worry about setting up the chair or setting up trays for my whole day. That's all done. We get help with taking x-rays, taking perio charts, letting the dentist know we're ready for an exam, anything extra like that, that you would generally need an extra pair of hands. Sure. That's what they're there for. If it's a perio case, we'll more likely get assistance with suction. But if it's a routine hygiene where you can stick the slow speed down the side of the cheek and the patient's okay with it, then we'll probably do that because she'll go between two rooms. So our appointments are staggered. Say I'm at on the hour, the other hygienist would be 10 past. So it works quite well.
Is that a normal model of what how you practice, or are you kind of a unique unicorn office that's just really blessed with awesome help?
Well, I have worked in practices where you do get a full-time dental assistant as an OHT. So that's next level. They help you with absolutely everything. They're your dental assistant for the day, which is that I feel like that's more of a unicorn office. There are lots of hygienists that do work alone. So that's definitely not rare here, but it's also not rare to have an assistant. So we're quite lucky here.
I missed it earlier. How long have you been practicing? How many years?
So I graduated in 2013. Okay. So this will be my 10th year.
That's awesome. Congratulations on 10 years.
Thank you.
So my question, I guess, is kind of along the lines of,
I feel like we see a lot of evolution in either work practices or maybe products, things that we've come across that have really helped us, like, and you kind of advance to the next level. Mm. In those 10 years, have you felt anything that you've seen that is like, this is a game changer for me, whether it's some sort of a product? I mean, we might have it here too, we might not, but something that's really helped you with either patient education or stay on time or any of those things?
Mm-hmm. Oh, over 10 years? Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like the EMS airflow, for one, for me has been a really big game changer in terms of the way we've been practicing dental hygiene has really been the same since the 1950s. You know, it's been the same protocol and it's worked, but now there's technology that's much more gentle, much more comfortable, much more systematic, efficient, and something that the patient's actually happy to come in for sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, patients will come in and say, my other self-care appointments are much more uncomfortable than what it is to come see you now for a hygiene appointment. So I feel like that really helps in terms of the patient's perspective. The baby boomer generation didn't have a nice time at the dentist, and hygiene included. So I'm seeing more and more young patients, children and teens come in, and coming to the dentist is normal. It's just something you do. Mum and dad take you to the dentist, and it's a fairly nice experience. So that for me has probably been one of the number one greatest changes, I feel, for our industry. And in terms of products, I think, well, over the last couple of years, we've seen the change in terms of, I guess, consumers regarding fluoride. I feel like it's always been behind the scenes simmering, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's really come to the surface in the last 5 years. So I've had a lot of patients come through and ask, actually, I don't want to use fluoride. And you get those patients and you say, it's a lifestyle choice. You know, I'm not here to tell you need to use fluoride. I think it's important as a practitioner to be like, hey, that's okay. Let's help you find some alternatives. So whether that's tooth mousse minus the fluoride, so they're getting some building blocks back into their teeth, whether it's hydroxyapatite, which I think has been a really interesting sort of evolution. It's coming more and more into mainstream toothpastes. In the States, you've got Boca, which we don't have here. We've got a brand here called Gem, and they've got hydroxyapatite. So there are different, I guess, different types of patients that we've got to accommodate to. And I like having those options for them. Keep my product arsenal full.
Is the EMS airflow, is that pretty popular in Australia?
It's starting to gain traction.
Okay.
Definitely not everyone has it. I think it might be the same as the States. I'm really seeing through EMS US, they're really trying to amp up their team, and they've trained lots of new trainers, which I've seen, which are way larger than the team that they have here. Obviously, America's a lot bigger and has way more people, but it's gaining traction, that's for sure. And lots more clinicians are trying to put the pressure on their management and bosses to invest.
Well, I had it on done on me, and I thought, man, if this is what like a dental appointment would be like, I can only just imagine those like with perio or, you know, someone that might be a little bit more uncomfortable or more sensitive, you know, what a great experience, almost like a spotlight experience for them. And I'm really high on them as well. I mean, they're not sponsoring this episode or anything. Don't worry, listeners, but I'm really excited. And I really hope that does kind of take off. I mean, obviously the obstacle is the price tag. It's an expensive tool to have, but it's
correct.
It works. So, okay. I have lots of other questions, but I think we have to get to the game because we're only about 10 more minutes left on this episode. So I only have 6 questions for you, and they could go by like that, or we could talk about them a little bit more. We actually had one from, do you know Hygiene Edge?
I believe they've come up on my page a few times. Yes, I have seen them.
So for those listeners that are listening, you guys have probably heard Hygiene Edge a lot on A Tale of Two Hygienists, but Hygiene Edge is a group of educators. And they do really cool videos. And it's a lot of how-tos, very simple, but really good camera work and really good like voiceover work. And they've been doing it for years. I think when we started this in 2015, I think they were also starting, or they were maybe even before us, I can't remember, but they do a lot of really good things. Anyway, so they submitted a question. They said, which I think I know your answer to this one already based on EMS, but magnetostrictive or piezo, do you have a preference?
Oh, well, this might surprise you. I actually, if I had to choose, like both were put in front of me, I would choose magneto because yes.
No.
That's okay. Just what I've been used to. I have been using the piezo for almost 2 years now. But if I have the cav there when our EMS has been sent away for maintenance or anything like that, I'm like, oh, I really miss my cav.
Yeah,
the piezo takes a bit of time to get used to because not all the sides are working. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why some clinicians say, oh, I hate it, I don't like it. It does take some time to get used to.
Yeah. I think I'm exactly the same as you. I've only used a piezo just a handful of times. Mm. And like, if I don't have a magnetostrictive, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm just like, I'll be so lost. It's not gonna be fair for the patients, but
yeah.
This wasn't on my list, but have you ever used the Sharpen Free instruments?
American Eagle?
American Eagle has the XP. LM has Diamond something or other.
I have used the American Eagle.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I found them quite good. I quite enjoyed them. I just don't like sharpening. I hate the sound of the, like thinking about it now, makes my teeth skin crawl.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm exactly the same way. It's like, and it's on that. Anyways, everyone can already like envision that sound. I'm so sorry, listeners. That was mean of us.
Yeah. Okay. No.
All right. Here's another question. If you had to, would you rather move to the US or the UK?
Ooh, that's UK. Sorry, no, guys.
I get it. No, I get it. Why UK versus the US?
Well, UK's closer to Europe. Love Europe and all the travel that you can do. Mm-hmm. I think mainly for that. And my qualifications actually recognized in the UK, so I don't have to do any exams. Yeah. If I wanted to be an OHT hygienist in the UK, I could literally just sign some paperwork, off I go, and I can practice. Oh, so,
man, that's so awesome. Oh, man. We make it so hard here in the US. Like,
you do, you come in, really
but
do.
Also for us to go anywhere too, it's hard. So, okay, here's another one. Would you rather work 8 hours in perio or 8 hours in pediatrics?
Perio. For sure.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, all those sweet little faces coming in and just like, it'd be just like happy time for 8 hours.
They're not always sweet and happy.
That's true, but that's same with our old grumpy perio patients are not sweet and happy either.
This is true. But I find, I love kids, but not as much in the dental chair.
Yeah. No, I can understand that one. All right. I only have a few more. I don't know who wrote this one. It was me that wrote this one, but it's really poorly worded. Would you rather spend a shift doing back to back to back scaling and root planing, or getting scaling and root planing performed on you one time?
Oh, getting
so like scaling. 8 hours. Like, you'd rather have it done on you?
For 8 hours?
Yeah. I mean, either you have to do it for 8 hours on other patients or you have to do it on yourself for 1 hour. But this would assume that you have perio though, because like you can't have scaling and root planning without perio. So that's kind of like the secret behind this question is you also have a periodontal disease issue.
What are you trying to say?
I mean, if the shoe fits, right?
Look, see, I love perio, so I would do back to back.
Oh my gosh. Good for you.
And I don't have perio, guys.
Sorry, I wasn't mean to imply that. Actually, I did because it's funny. But anyways, so, and then... okay. Would you rather work on a patient who is a talker or one who literally hates that you're breathing the same air that they are?
Oh, but do I have all the time in the world to deal with a talker, or am I running behind?
This is an average day. Like, what, I mean, normal parameters for scheduling time.
Oh, let's go talker, because even then, you know, they're happy to engage with you. I'd rather that than,
man, we are so,
I don't want that negative. I don't want that negative energy in my life.
I do. I don't have to perform. I don't have to be like, I mean, no, I don't want the negative energy in my life either, but I don't want to have to be that person that's like, well, okay, let me tell you all these really cool stories that are like, I don't want you talking to me, Abby. All right, this is going to be, I'll put some music on next 45 minutes. Like no more talking for either one of us. And I'll be own, I'll be on my vacations in my mind. It'll be awesome.
I get that way sometimes.
All right. Last one. Oh, this one sounds mean. All right.
Hit me.
I apologize about how I wrote these ones. They're not that good. Would you rather relearn how to practice dentistry with your opposite hand or leave dentistry altogether?
I think I'd leave.
How much do you love dentistry? Would you?
I'm leaving.
you couldn't figure out how to scale. Are you a righty or lefty?
I'm right.
You couldn't figure out how to scale left-handed?
I really struggle.
I'm not saying your right hand like chopped off. I'm just saying you just couldn't use it for like your predominant hand. It's your mirror hand at that point.
This is true. Now I've tried like writing with my left hand in the past, but it just doesn't happen for me. I feel like I would really, really struggle. I think I would go explore a different avenue.
Have you ever given local anesthesia left-handed? I had to a couple times.
Oh,
I can't remember why. I think there's like the chair wouldn't move or something. It was weird. Anyway,
just wanted to challenge myself. I'm doing it.
It was fine. It worked. I mean, just like be steady. I'm glad I do. No, just kidding. It wasn't that bad. But that's all my questions for you. Let's finish this episode with, I want to talk a little bit more about like, why are you doing the podcast? What are the things that you're learning and kind of like, what's the next step for you?
Mm-hmm. So why am I doing the podcast? I just really like learning off other people. People ask me, oh, you do quite a bit other than working clinically. What's the favorite thing that you do? While I love like the content creation stuff, I love the podcast. I just feel like you can only see so much on Instagram or TikTok or social media or LinkedIn. It's a little snippet of what really goes on in someone's head or what they have to deal with in their day to day. I feel like the podcast is a really great time where you can sit with someone, pick their brain, get to know them a little bit more, understand why they do what they do or have done what they have done. So I really feel like it's a really great way to learn from others, but also share it with others. People, particularly dental professionals, we're all about learning. And so I think this is a really great platform to be able to talk about topics that, you know, we may not speak about very much or don't conventionally get spoken about. So that's what I love about the podcast. And what's next for me? Oh, there's a lot happening at the moment, but I can't talk about it just yet. So stay tuned.
Let me know when that is. Yeah. And we'll post about it. So that's exciting.
Yeah. We could do another episode, but potentially continuing down the avenue of still working in dentistry, but not clinical. So I still love working clinical and I don't see myself giving it up anytime soon, but I also really love all the other fun stuff that you get to do outside of it. So yeah, that's what's coming for me. More podcasting, of course.
I love it. And if any of our listeners wanted to reach out to you, ask you questions or just, you know, follow you on social media, where can they find you?
So I'm at Emma Talks Teeth on Instagram. And if you want to listen to the podcast, it's at Talk Dental To Me Podcast.
Emma, thank you so much. This was wonderful.
It was fun. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is a tale, oh yeah, a tale of two hygienists. So there might be only one, bringing the best of dental knowledge, and we do it all with ease. We cover oral health and screening and preventing gum disease. We're going to do a lot of learning and have a little bit of fun working at the dentist. A tale of two hygienists.